Welcome back to the Happy Saver podcast. I'm Ruth, a personal finance blogger here in Aotearoa. Now, have you ever wondered about other people and their money? In this podcast, I chat with a diverse bunch of just everyday people. I learn their stories about their financial experiences, and I share helpful, relatable information from Kiwis who generously explain how they handle their money in New Zealand. Now, in November 2024, I was fortunate enough to find myself at the very first New Zealand Financial Independence Hui called Black Whai Day. Now, this three-day event was open to anyone keen to spend a long weekend with a group of like-minded people who were at various stages of their financial journey and very keen to talk about it. Almost 40 people attended, and the person in the spotlight today, Amelie, was one of them. Just 19 at the time, she showed up on her own and was understandably pretty nervous. But before long, every participant was in awe of this young wahine from Taranaki who'd decided that if being stuck with a bunch of random strangers for a weekend would mean that she learned something about money and it would help teach her to feel financially confident, well, she would take that risk. And she got fully involved in the weekend, even sharing her situation in a case study that she presented to the group. Now, it's been a few months since the event, she's since turned 20, and we picked up the phone for a good old korero, where I got the chance to dig a little deeper into her journey with money, and my hope is that today's episode will, in particular, be of use to teenagers and 20-somethings alike, and to the adults who happen to have a young person in their midst. But before I get started, a quick message from today's sponsor. When I first started to get interested in understanding where my money came from and went to, I meticulously noted each transaction in a spreadsheet. While a good place to start, I was short on time, and that practice lasted 1 month at best. Enter Pocketsmith. It helped me quickly automate my finances, which saved a ton of time. I like to explain Pocketsmith to people by saying it gave me the data I desperately needed to understand my money. I no longer have to compile that data, it does everything for me. Pocketsmith automates financial management by connecting to your financial institutions, such as your bank, for real-time transaction updates. Plus, it offers budgeting tools, cash flow forecasts, and net worth tracking, thus eliminating the need for manual spreadsheets. Thank goodness. If you want to supercharge your finances with Pocketsmith, have we got a deal for you. Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of Pocketsmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. Now, Amelie, which is not actually her real name, but I thought was a lovely one because it reminds me of a young woman I know, grew up on a dairy farm and later a dry stock farm in rural Taranaki. She's the middle child of three, and all of them are done with school and off out into the world to each pursue their careers. Now, as most rural kids do, they helped out around the farm and the home, and Amelie was no exception. Her parents taught her that money comes from mahi, and few things in life come for free. So it's up to you to make your own money and your own happiness and learn to rely on yourself and not accept handouts from other people, parents included. When she was really young, she received pocket money based on her age. So $5 for when she was 5 and $6 for when she was 6. And for this, she would unload the dishwasher, vacuum the house and pick up after the dog. At that age, she remembers money being a shiny gold thing that she handed to a person at a shop and they gave her some treats in return. And then, as she got older and stronger, she would be out on the farm putting in a good day's work helping out her parents. Aged just 12, in her last year of primary school, she got herself her first part-time job. Not that this was what she was angling for, when she wrote a letter to her local vet clinic asking if she could sit in on the upcoming castration of their two young pet cats. She was fascinated by what went on at a vet clinic, and after observing the two procedures and asking such great questions, the vet let her stay and watch all the other surgery that they had planned for that day. And soon after, they actually offered her an after-school cleaning job for an hour and a half a day, 3 days a week. Her parents opened up a KiwiSaver account for her, and she began contributing 10% to it from her wages. Her employer paid her the minimum wage, which was almost $16 an hour in 2017. As well as paying into her KiwiSaver, she also put a little of this money into a savings account, not that she understood the point of saving anything at that time, she said, and she happily spent the rest. Now, I don't know if her employer also contributed to her KiwiSaver, given she was under the age of 18, but in my experience, many of them do. So if you have a young one starting work, make sure you ask their employer about their KiwiSaver contributions. She would not receive the annual $521 from the government until she turned 18, but her contributions soon started to grow and compound regardless. So joining a low-fee, high-growth KiwiSaver scheme early is worth it for sure. Throughout her childhood and early adolescence, her family had the ability to find some gaps in the farming schedule of a month or two, where they took Amelie and her siblings out of school and headed off overseas to visit family in England, or visit Australia or the Cook Islands, and she feels really lucky to have had that opportunity to get a taste of travel so early in life. These trips lessened when her parents moved to a different type of farming, and her and her siblings needed to settle into the important years of their secondary schooling. But at this age, she said, she became quite the farm girl and enjoyed helping out and learning about animal husbandry. Some advice that her parents gave her about money was to be wise with it, but accept that you are going to make mistakes along the way as you work out what being wise actually looks like for you. But the key is to learn from your mistakes and don't repeat them. Regarding buying things, they continue to remind her to be less impulsive and ask herself if that thing she wants to buy is a want or a need. These days they say to her that when she wants to buy something, first step back, wait, and then decide and don't rush into spending money. And I like that Amelie and her parents had and continue to have kōrero about money. As a young woman, she continued to earn her pūtia and she continued to save a small amount and spend the rest. Now, the reason for earning and saving money revealed itself when, aged 13, her parents purchased her a pony, which she said was absolutely awesome. And while they paid for the pony, it was explained to her that she needed to pay for everything else. She said this taught her a lot about responsibility, and from then on, everything she earned went towards taking care of her horse, which has its positives and its negatives. Yes, it taught her how to be responsible and care for an animal, and put 10% into her KiwiSaver fund for retirement, but she now found herself spending everything else that she earned, and it would take a few more years before she learned to hold a bit more back for some other financial goals. At the age of 14, she took a break from the vets and spent a year working after school at a racehorse stable, which was a bit of an eye-opener to Amelie. All day, every day, horses were fed, exercised, groomed, and cared for, and she got to see just how many hours the staff were working for very little pay. She stuck at it for about a year before returning to the vet clinic. What with helping on the family farm, working at a stable, and working at a vet clinic right the way through her schooling, which ended in 2022, she was leaning towards a career in veterinary science. But all this work experience showed her that working with animals was not just about hugging dogs, and although still a very young woman, she was astute enough to see the business side of each venture, the struggles of the job, and all the different personality types involved in it, some good and some bad. She knew she needed to find something else, but had no idea what. Amelie was a good student who got fully involved at her local high school, which had a roll of about 550. In year 10, she was top of her particular class, and getting that top spot was a huge rush. So in the years that followed, she kept striving for that feeling of doing well, and she said that this feeling of wanting to succeed very much stays with her today. In year 12, she studied six subjects, which were chemistry, physics, biology, English, math, and music, which covered all her bases to finish the year with a grade of merit endorsed and enough credits in NCEA to get into university, if that's what she decided to do one day. Now, her intention with her subject choice was to keep her options wide open. In her final year at school, year 13, she studied six subjects again: English, Media Studies, Music, Drama, Digital Technology, and Calculus. And although she failed Calculus, she still achieved a merit endorsement. And she used her final year of school to really enjoy herself, and that was where she gave her love of drama free rein. She got the arts leadership role, which she was extremely happy about, and spent that year getting heavily involved in the school production and music, and showing other students that there was more to art than just drawing a picture, and encouraging others to find their artistic passion and just get involved. She kept striving to do well and realised that she could have a lot of fun at school too, which is why, in year 13, she did those more arts-based subjects. The biggest personal achievement during that year was being the drummer in the school band and coming second in their region for RockQuest. Now, they won $400 and played an original song, which is pretty cool. As her final year of high school was drawing to a close, she still had no idea what her next step would be. Heading to university, or Te Pūkenga, which is Polytech, was an option that was open to her, but she didn't really have a firm idea what she might do there, or given she had not saved any money, how much of a student loan she would have to take on, or whether whatever she did choose would even lead to a job. Right at this time, in September of 2022, her school set up a job speed dating event for year 13 students, where prospective employers and students had a fast 5-minute interview with each other. At the end of the interview, each ranked their experience with a yes, no, or a maybe, and a few days later, she received an email from a few of the companies who attended, offering the chance to have a second interview. Now, one that stood out to her was an electrical company, who had said that the skills she thought she had actually matched up pretty well with working as an electrician. Now, although it was not what she had ever considered doing, once she looked at the skills required to be an electrician, Amelie thought it sounded like a good fit and a good idea, so she had an interview and then took the next step they offered, which was to spend a week with them gaining some work experience. At the end of this week, they'd seen enough to assure themselves that she had the potential in this type of career. And although going straight from school into an apprenticeship without having done a pre-trade course at Te Pūkenga is unusual, they eventually, the offer actually didn't come in until after she'd completely finished school, offered her an apprenticeship starting in early 2023. When she finished up her year at school, and because she was still waiting to hear about her apprenticeship, she also finished up her part-time job at the vet clinic and picked up a full-time job in hospitality instead. Now, this was quite a considered move, as she'd been interested in hospitality work for a while, wanted to earn a good chunk of money, and wanted to work with some different people, both colleagues and customers, in a completely different role. Amelie is outgoing and very engaging, and I could see that she would be good in a job like this, and I'm so impressed that she had the courage to see something she wanted to try and just go for it. So right up till this point, she was living paycheck to paycheck, and pretty much all her money went towards her horse. Because the writing was on the wall with school coming to an end and the next phase of her life due to begin, they made the reluctant decision to rehome her horse to someone else who would love it just as much as Amelie had. Because her parents had paid for the horse, a bit of an argument happened when it was time to sell. Amelie had put a lot of time, effort, love, and money into training her horse, and she wanted to receive some cash for all her efforts. If her horse was an asset, she wanted some of the capital gains. But her mum said to her that they would not give her cash, but would instead give her half of the $5,500 the horse sold for that she could put towards either tertiary education or a car. When she asked her mum, "Why can't I just have this money as cash?" the answer was that she would most likely just spend it all. And Amelie said that she was a bit put out at the time. When she was finally offered an electrical apprenticeship at a Taranaki company, it was clear that this money would now go towards a car to get her to and from work. Now, it was while working in the cafe in the summer of 2022-2023 that Amelie got a text from her parents saying that they had just paid $4,500 cash for her first car, a 2008 Mazda 2, which is a very fine and reliable choice for a first car, in my opinion, given that we own something very similar. Now, they would pay half using the money from the horse, and Amelie now owed them about a further $2,500, a debt she now needed to start paying off. So this total amount owing would cover the car debt and insurance. Now, because she had no savings, her cafe work now became the sole means she had to earn the money to pay off the debt to her parents. A payment plan was created and stuck to the family fridge, and every fortnight for 10 weeks, Amelie paid them back $500 until she was done and the balance of her debt was zero. Now, interestingly, the car and the insurance were both in her name, It's quite common for parents to keep children under their own policy details, but sticking to their values from all those years ago, they said that nope, you need to take responsibility for car ownership right from the get-go. And that included paying much higher insurance premiums because she was only 19 years old. Their reasoning was that if she crashes it, they don't want to be the ones left paying for it. Many parents think they are doing their kids a favour when they buy something for them and make their kids pay them back. Many say they are teaching their children to handle debt. Now, I subscribe to a different way of teaching, as I want to teach my child to handle money and create assets, not handle debt on a depreciating vehicle. I asked if they had ever had the conversation with her about saving up $2,500 and then going to buy a car. Well, no, not for her, they didn't. Now, her parents sound very practical because Amelie said from this experience they clearly had a bit of a think about things and decided they would pay half for each of their children's first cars. And they suggested to her younger sister, who had taken over Amelie's job at the vet clinic when she left, that she should start saving up cash now to pay for a car she will need in the future, which I absolutely love. Parents, like the rest of us, myself very much included, are making up life as we go along, and I liked how they clearly put a bit of thought into the whole car buying situation and have decided to approach it in a different way for their youngest child, because learning the habit of saving up for a big purchase is a critical skill to learn. That's why in our whānau, we have made sure our daughter manages her money carefully. She has spending money, money for short-term savings goals, money invested for education, and finally, money invested for retirement. She learned to budget with $10 a week. Now she budgets with about $100, and the day will come where she will apply the same skills to budget with $1,000 a week and more. Now, Amelie finished her shift at the cafe one day in January of 2023 and started her new career as an apprentice electrician the very next day. She remained living at home and drove 45 minutes to and from her work, and it was during this time that she began to think about money more deeply, including making allowance for paying for fuel to put in her car. By 2023, the minimum wage had increased to just over $22 per hour, and she was fortunate to be on this, a wage she referred to as big adult money, and not the lower training wage or apprentice wage of about $18 an hour at that time. It was a bit of a wake-up call to Amelie that it would actually cost her money to go to work. Not only did she have to pay petrol, but she also spent about $500 to buy tools, and it was likely she would need more over time. But apart from those costs, the on-the-job training and the coursework she was required to complete along the way was paid for by her employer while she settled into her 3 to 4 year apprenticeship. Now, because she had not done a pre-trade course, she started on day one with absolutely no idea how to even secure two bits of wire together, but she was very keen to learn. She enjoyed the work she was doing, working alongside qualified electricians on domestic and commercial jobs, and getting the opportunity to try a wide variety of work and realizing that she liked this career that she'd found for herself. She was earning about $1,600 a fortnight, and because she was leaving home at about 7 o'clock in the morning and getting home at about 5:30, she was actually managing to save, without too much effort, about $800 a fortnight. Her parents had said to her that in her first year out of school, she could live rent-free while she found her feet, so with few outgoings, it was easy to save. But her greatest financial flop also happened around this time, and it relates to saving up and buying a $3,000 electric drum set soon after she started her apprenticeship. She got it home and had a meltdown about what she had just done. Her problem was that she bought it without thinking about it enough. She was just in such a rush to just buy something and get the buzz that comes from that, that she didn't put enough research into what she was actually buying, and in hindsight, she didn't buy the drum kit she really would have wanted. Had she slowed down, she would have bought differently. Her parents were awesome, and they sat her down and they talked it through, reminding her what they had mentioned before, that you are going to make financial choices you will regret, but you just learn from them, don't repeat them, and move forward. And today, she uses her drums all the time, but lessons learned for next time. Now, 5 months into her new job, Amelie decided that if she was going to work, well, she might as well work hard. So she picked up a second job working at a local Subway restaurant, which was owned by a relative. 3 days a week, she went straight from her electrician job to Subway, working an extra 12 hours in total across a week, which was about $220 after tax. So why did she decide to do this, I wondered. The idea was brewing that she thought she might want to head off overseas and travel for a long time, and her mindset was that she needed to get started on the savings early for this to become a reality sometime in her 20s. Mahi makes money, and if she was going to travel at length, she wanted plenty of money to make it happen. So this non-saver started to flip the script. When you have a reason for saving, saving becomes far easier to do. Plus, heading off into the big unknown of travel means you might not see how you could earn money on the road, so taking money with you is really important. I absolutely love that she had put two and two together and worked out that in order to travel, you need money. Unlike buying a car that you can, not that you should, borrow money for, no bank wants to lend you money to travel, or if they do, it will come with a very high interest rate. This is the point I want our tamariki to learn early while living at home. I meet too many 18-year-olds who are headed off to uni and they can't fathom how they could ever pay cash. But the saving has to start way back when they get their first after-school job. That's how you pay cash to study. You start saving early. So all went well at work until she and her fellow apprentices were called into the manager's office one day. Unfortunately, the workflow had decreased, and in order for the business to cut their costs, they were going to have to lay someone off. Because Amelie was the last one to join the team, she was going to be the first one to go. So, sadly, just 6 months into her apprenticeship and her new career that she was really enjoying, she was let go. She took her final paycheck of about $2,500 in mid-2023, and feeling a bit used and abused, she drove home. Thankfully, having started working at Subway just a month before in order to increase her savings, she was able to go straight to work there, and although she couldn't get full-time work, she was still working. Sadly though, having started to actually get used to saving, she was not able to save as much as she would have liked. She felt a little defeated by that, but looking at it another way, Amelie hadn't done what many 18 and 19-year-old apprentices do, and what she had actually been doing right up until she started her apprenticeship, and that was blowing every dollar she spent. Although she was no longer able to save as much as she wanted, she had savings to fall back on if push came to shove, and that's a big, big deal. Although her work situation had not worked out, she'd started to work out money. The company that let her go made an introduction to another company, which was good of them, and she was interviewed there in the hope that her apprenticeship would continue. She was feeling quite confident, she said, but in another blow, she didn't get the job because they were looking for apprentices who were further along than her. She then actively approached about 10 other companies, but no one was hiring. Now, I really admire the courage it took to cold call a bunch of employers asking for work. That is such a hard thing to do. And although it didn't work out, she tried every avenue. So as 2023 wore on, she began to formulate Plan B, which was to finish out the year working at Subway and then head to university in 2024. But Amelie hadn't given up on her electrical career just yet. She was still searching, and nor had the algorithm on her phone when a job ad popped up telling her that a big agricultural factory in her area was specifically looking for new apprentices. So the job hunt was back on. She immediately applied and was one of hundreds to do so, and she kept surviving each step of the recruitment process. Firstly, she made it through the online application stage, then the phone interview stage, and then a face-to-face interview. And through the process, she learned more about an industry that had been sitting on her doorstep the entire time. She never knew they took on apprentices, or the wide range of skills that were required to run a huge factory. And the more she learned, the more excited she felt to work in such an interesting industry. And as luck would have it, they offered her a job as an apprentice electrical engineer. And no more long commute for her, as her new job was just a 15-minute drive from her house. And she started there in November of 2023. Now, I'm 30 years older than Amelie, but I too finished school, went straight into a job, and then the business promptly closed and laid me off. I was devastated and it was a huge shock and a setback. But much like Amelie, my family supported me in every way that good people do. But more importantly, I picked myself up and tried again with much greater success the next time around. Sometimes entering the workforce takes a few attempts, but don't be put off. Just try a different angle and keep trying. Her new role was quite different to what she did before, and these days she is mainly working in industrial electrical work in the maintenance area. All of her training is paid for, and all of her tools are provided for free, and apart from petrol to get her to and from work, she has not had to pay a cent since she joined. Her pay rate is just over $25 per hour, and she has opted to join the company's superannuation scheme, where she pays in 6% and they pay the same, plus an additional 3%. Now, she was not sure of all the details around her scheme, but understands it is in a high growth fund and she has to stay 5 full years to receive her full entitlements of the 6% and the 3%. She is inquiring at work for more detail around the scheme, just so she understands it fully, because she is now aware that you don't invest in something that you don't understand, and you have to keep asking questions until you do. But already, as at early 2024, her work superannuation scheme has a balance of $4,600. One day, if and when she leaves, she will be able to take this money with her and roll it into her KiwiSaver or another pension scheme. It's not locked in until 65. She could, of course, spend it, but given it was invested for retirement, it makes much better financial sense to keep it for retirement. Given she started KiwiSaver at the age of just 12 and her employer doesn't pay into her KiwiSaver fund, instead paying into her private super fund, it doesn't mean that Amelie can't. So she continues to make voluntary contributions of $44 a fortnight directly from her bank to her KiwiSaver in order to get above the minimum contributions of $1,042 a year required in order to receive the government annual contribution of $521 a year. Now, I know that $521 doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, but it's a free gift and it adds up over time. And because it's invested in a high growth fund, it will compound and grow over the decades. Now, her KiwiSaver is in a Simplicity high growth fund and her balance is $10,099. So those small investments made since the age of 12 have all added up. Now, I'm really encouraged that by the age of just 20, she has worked out that it makes sense to invest in both pension schemes. Amelie is now 15 months into her job and she works a day shift pattern of 4 days on and 4 days off. She works a 12-hour shift from 6 till 6. They are long days, but you get used to them, she said. And she gets paid fortnightly and takes home about $1,750 a fortnight or $875 a week after her super deductions. Now, it changes a little bit each pay depending on her work roster. I could see as we spoke that she had been slowly working stuff out. She was no longer working pay to pay, but she was saving and investing. So what changed and where did she get her information? And how on earth did a then 19-year-old pay cold hard cash to attend a personal finance retreat with 40 complete strangers? Well, at the end of 2022, right at the end of high school, a school friend that she trusted asked her the question, how many bank accounts do you have? And she replied she had two, a check account and a savings account. And her friend asked her why she had this particular setup. And she didn't really have an answer. It just was what it was. So the friend gave her the book, The Barefoot Investor, and told her to read it because it would explain more. Amelie's mum saw her with the book and she wanted to read it too. And from there, she can say with confidence that her lessons in how money works and her quest for new information really began. Amelie found the information website MoneyHub and her mum found me, the Happy Saver. And at some point, I mentioned Alan and Katie Donegan, who as luck would have it, were on a recent podcast episode, and their completely free Rebel Finance School 10-week course. Now, her mum was skeptical about the course, thinking that it won't be free, there has to be a catch, but there wasn't, so she did the course in 2023 and she told Amelie that she should too. But at that stage, in mid-2023, Amelie was not quite ready to spend a few hours a week going through the course. But as she got into the groove at work, was earning a good amount of money, even though it was close to the minimum wage, she thought that her friend and her mum were right. She should start educating herself more about money. Now, when Rebel Finance School started up again in the winter of 2024, both Amelie and her mum did it separately, but once they had both watched it later in the week, they began talking about it, what they'd learned and how it might apply to them. It felt weird, and still does if she's honest, talking to her mum about money, but the korero had started, so why not keep going? Amelie signed up to the Rebel Finance School Facebook groups, both the New Zealand and the UK groups, and that was that, really. Now, for those who are interested, and you really should be, the course runs every year and it starts on or around the 3rd of June in Aotearoa this year, in 2025. So just Google it to sign up, or if you are on my The Happy Saver mailing list, I'll be sending out reminders as well. It's run by the Donegans, who received a British Empire Medal in the King's Birthday Honours for services to financial education. Now, although I enjoy watching it live, the live sessions do start at 7 a.m. each Tuesday morning, which is not ideal for everyone, so you can watch it at your convenience at a later date. Now, I had mentioned the very first New Zealand personal finance retreat called Black Phi Day, Phi meaning financial independence, and I'd mentioned it was being organised by a Christchurch woman called Bronwyn. And Amelie's mother saw it and she said to Amelie, well, I can't make it, unfortunately, but you should go. So, although scared and nervous, she signed up, not even realising until after she'd signed up that two of the speakers at the event were the Rebel Finance School founders themselves. Now, if you are interested in learning more about future financial independence retreats in New Zealand, search for Black Phi Day Christchurch on Facebook. Bronwyn, the organiser, will add information as it comes to hand, and it will be held on the weekend starting Friday, the 28th of November this year. She said that she signed up and paid around $650 from her savings to attend and travel to the event because she wanted to meet like-minded people, and that's indeed exactly what happened. Now, I attended and was also a speaker, and I can vouch for the fact that you are unlikely to meet a nicer, more genuine and helpful bunch of humans anywhere else. When we all realised just how young and new to the workforce Amelie was, everyone signed up to be her auntie and uncle that she could turn to anytime she needed support. Now, the most common comment I hear, and I actually heard it this very morning when I had a coffee catch up with somebody, is from an older person who says, I wish I knew this when I was 19. So, to have a 19-year-old learning about money, we were all delighted for her. She said that the timing of attending was perfect, and she learned so much, and is just so glad she went, as it answered a lot of money questions she had, and she got to share her story with us, and we all got to help her learn. I've heard many people say that the beauty of being good with money is that for me to win, you don't have to lose. We can all share information and help each other win too. So, as of March 2025, what is Amelie's financial situation? She has expanded on the Barefoot Investor's four-bucket system, instead preferring to use a number of sinking funds to manage her money. In total, she currently has 12 bank accounts with TSB, and she pays no account fees. When she gets paid about $1,750 each fortnight, she sits down, pulls up her Google spreadsheet that she's created, and then manually moves her income into a variety of sinking funds. She then updates her spreadsheet to reflect the new balances of each bank account. One day she might automate this process, but for now she much prefers to think about every expense and plan for what is coming up. It's a mindset thing, she said. She has 12 bank accounts, one for each expense, so that she knows exactly where her money is going. Each account has a name, so in an instant, it is easy for her to see its purpose when she looks in her banking app. And I'll just run through them quickly for you. Bank account number one is for rent. She pays $200 a fortnight, and for now she continues to live at home, and this rent includes an evening meal. Number two account is for groceries. She moves $100 a fortnight into here to cover breakfast and lunch. Number three is for acting lessons. Amelie believes that hobbies are a good thing to have. You don't just want to be work, 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 so she puts $100 a fortnight into this sinking fund. Number four sinking fund is for fuel, and she puts $140 a fortnight into here. Number five is for clothes and beauty, and that gets $100 a fortnight. Number 6 is her weakness, she said, and that is hair. A bigger expense for her, so she puts $80 a fortnight into hair. Number 7 is for her phone. She puts aside $60 a month for an unlimited texting, calls, and data plan. And number 8 is a shows sinking fund. She knows she wants to go and see all the different shows and musicals Taranaki has to offer, so she puts $100 a fortnight into a sinking fund for this. Now, number 9 is what she calls her birthday and Easter account. She loves buying gifts, so this sinking fund gets $50 so it builds up and is ready to use when needed. Number 10 is her car account sinking fund, and it gets a very specific amount of $120.19 per fortnight. Now, this covers insurance, servicing, warrants, tyres, etc., and is based off what she spent last year. Number 11 is a holidays account. Amelie's got a couple of trips around New Zealand planned this year and is setting aside $60 a fortnight for this. She had been putting more in here, but the dates got pushed out, so she reduced the amount she moves because she now has more time to save. And finally, she has a Christmas account. Once again, she loves spending on gifts, so she puts $40 a fortnight aside specifically for Christmas. Pretty much everything she likes to do in life is covered from these accounts. And when she does spend money on, say, her car, for example, she just moves the money from her car sinking fund into her check account and she pays the bill. She also has a bank account with a $7,000 emergency fund in it. This is an extremely astute thing for a 20-year-old to do. As best she can, she is planning for future expenses via all her sinking funds, but sometimes life throws up unexpected things, which is exactly what this fund is for. Once she knows her exact take-home pay for the fortnight and has moved money off into all her sinking funds, she's left with about $350 to $400. Now, this is her gap between earning and spending, and with this money, she does two things. She has restarted her travel account, and she puts some into there and some into investments. She tends to split it at about 70-30, give or take, she said. Her travel account actually sits with a different bank, Rabobank, because it offered a slightly higher interest rate. Now, personally, I think that often it's a wasted energy to open up new accounts with new banks to chase a fractionally higher interest rate, especially given savings interest rates are dropping like a stone these days. When you actually run the math on it, it's often not worth it. Now, Amelie was able to play this out in real time, though, because when we spoke, a one-year, $2,000 term deposit that she had set up to save for travel had just expired. She'd set this up before she really knew kind of what she was doing, she said. Now, after taxes, after one full year, the value had risen to $2,104. If she was to reinvest it in another term deposit, the final return would now be even lower because the interest rates have dropped. She figured that for the effort and the return, she could have just worked a few more hours and earned more that way. When it expired, she rolled half of this money into her travel savings account, and it now has a balance of $4,000, which to her, she said, feels insane. She is so impressed and proud of herself that just slow and steady deposits, just taking small but consistent steps, have so quickly added up to $4,000. Finally, in addition to investing in KiwiSaver and her Work Super scheme, in August of 2024, she has opened up an account with provider InvestNow and is investing the other portion of her surplus money, her gap, into an unhedged total world fund. She used all the resources she has mentioned to research her options, then opened up the account and navigated her way through the whole process. She started without knowing what she was doing, but the key, she said, was to just start and learn as she went. And now, just 6 months later, she already has a balance of $2,070. Now, given she invests 6% of her salary, plus makes a fortnightly contribution to her KiwiSaver, plus a fortnightly contribution of about $150 to her InvestNow account, she is making a decent contribution to her investments each fortnight. All of these bank accounts and investment accounts are her foundation, and while today she works for just above minimum wage, that is not going to stay the case for long. Her salary projections are to earn about $50 an hour, and most likely more if she moved overseas. So when her pay increases, she will increase payments into her various accounts, investments, and retirement funds. she's building up a simple financial system that she can scale. Plus, importantly, she is not going hard out on the frugality front, but is being lenient with herself and really enjoying life. In fact, when I asked Amelie what the most extravagant thing was that she had purchased for herself recently, it was an unusual one, and it fitted right in with her saying that she was really enjoying life. She spent $50 buying UK treats, namely Terry's chocolate oranges and Walker's crisps. From the way she explained her figures, she has a nice balance, and most importantly, she's keeping a spreadsheet and tweaking and adjusting, so she's starting to build long-term wealth while enduring chips and chocolates in the short term. When I asked her what she would do if a sweet 10 grand turned up in her bank account today, she said she would put half in her future travel account and half into her Total World Fund ETF. Now, today, Amelie, who recently turned 20, has a net worth of $30,000. So apart from starting with a small KiwiSaver balance, it was really not until 2023 and paying her car off in full that she really started to pay attention to money. Given the oversight she has over her income and expenses now, I honestly can't see any reason why she would ever go into debt, so the only way for her net worth really is up. Now, of course, there is one way that she could go into debt, and that is to buy a house, but in all honesty, she's 20 years old, she's building a career, and she knows she wants to take that career and travel the world one day. No part of her wants or needs to buy a house right now. She thinks, why buy a house when you can rent some really cool houses and house hop, while also building your investments, which will, in time, be able to provide a passive income. One day she might want a house, but not now. For now, she's building her savings and investments and is creating options for herself that keep her agile and flexible in the years to come. When I specifically asked her what resources she found useful that she would recommend to others, it was all the ones already mentioned, myself, Rebel Finance School, and the Barefoot Investor. She gave us all the greatest compliment when she said that we are all reliable resources who are constantly saying similar things to each other. You don't have to spend money to pay for an online course. The key, Amelie said, is you just have to spend the most precious resource available, your time, to sit down and learn the stuff from some trusted resources. And then you take action. I think an unexpected bonus of Amelie actually attending the Black Friday Financial Independence Meetup in November last year is that she left with a whole bunch of new contacts who genuinely want to see this incredible young wahine succeed in life. Knowing she could email or phone any one of us anytime is a super handy tool to keep in her back pocket. Now, as I'm nearing the end, before I wrap up, I have another quick message from today's fabulous sponsor. If your finances are holding you back from living the life you want, try PocketSmith out. They've got the tools to help you make money management easier. And have we got a deal for you? Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of PocketSmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. Firstly, a huge ngā mihi nui or thank you to Amelie for taking the time to kōrero at length with me. I really appreciated and enjoyed our chat. It was immensely helpful to me to have the opportunity to spend 3 days in Amelie's company and get the chance to put myself in her shoes for a while and see how she is navigating finances and help her in any way possible. If you are learning any new skill, if you can find your community, then you have a fountain of knowledge at your fingertips, and Amelie has that. Now, we didn't talk too much about her parents during our interview for this podcast, but it was plain to see that they are in the background guiding and helping Amelie when necessary, and having that trusted adult always available is such an asset to have. And I love that her mum has put herself out there to learn more about money too, and they have come on this personal finance journey together. And while they don't sit down with popcorn and binge watch Money Chat on YouTube or read the same book at the same time, they do both acquire information independently and then talk about it. And it must feel wonderful for Amelie's parents to know that their young daughter already has a firm grasp on one of life's skills that trips up many a young adult, and that is handling money, growing wealth, and feeling financially confident. So the last word is going to go to Amelie when she explained that it's a relief to have learned what she has. She feels so much more confident that she can get through life without worrying about money. She knows she has more to learn, but that will come with life experience. She is so grateful for the fact that she has the support of her parents helping her on this journey, and she said it's exciting to think about the future. Money, she said, is not a struggle for her. She put a line in the sand and just decided that was as good a place to start as anywhere. And having started with close to $0, she is rightly very proud of herself to have created what she has. So that is all from me this week. And if you want to get in touch, you can find me over at my blog, thehappysaver.com, where I share a lot of information about how I manage money in my life. Plus, if you sign up for my fortnightly email, I'm always linking to other useful personal finance blogs, podcasts, books, and just money-related content. So thank you to you for listening. I hope you took a few nuggets of wisdom from this episode that you can now go and apply to your own life. And please do share The Happy Saver with your friends. It's the best way that people can learn about the podcast. And I would love it if you would talk more about money with your own friends and whānau and help me continue to help others be better with money. So until next time, happy saving.